everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom Engineering on producing the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, midweek edition, March 23rd, 2022. We're in our 12th year on the radio, 34th year in TV and radio in Tucson. Our program broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means anywhere anywhere in the world, plug into the website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can have the live stream of the program. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We get things rolling with our interview with Kevin Dahl, and Kevin is the Ward 3 Democrat councilman for the city of Tucson. He was born in the District of Columbia. He graduated from Prescott College in 1990. His professional experience includes working as an Arizona program manager for the National Parks Conservation Association and an adjunct faculty at Prescott College. He took over after being elected in November. He was sworn in December the 6th, 2021. Kevin, great to see you, man.
Thank you, Bill. Good to see you again.
It's your first visit to our program since actually being sworn in and taking office. We interviewed you extensively when you were with the National Parks Conservation Association. How has that transition over now to government gone for you?
Well, in a sense, I do miss the nonprofit world, but I'm having such a great time as a city councilman. I'm kind of settling into being council member Dahl rather than Kevin, and learning so much about how the city operates. We're in charge of water, fire protection, police department. We pick up garbage. We do recycling. We provide all sorts of programs and all the parks and recreation sites. I love Tucson. The city of Tucson is doing fabulous things. I'm happy to be part of a team, this mayor and council, that works on very important issues. I can't believe how big the budget is. I'm used to the nonprofit budget, so changing my view of numbers and how much it takes to get things done has been a learning experience. But I'm having a great time.
And you put together a staff that's so important because they take all sorts of, throughout the day, they're taking questions about potholes, garbage pickup, and on it goes.
Yeah. People in Tucson should know that their ward office is a resource to help solve problems. And, you know, it's not easy to find out how to get things done, but we have constituent service aides that can do that. I hired Katie Bolger as my chief of staff, and who has 14 years experience in the city. She was chief of staff for Councilman Paul Cunningham and the council person before him. And she started off in Ward 3. She and now Mayor Regina Romero were council aides together in that office. And she lives in the ward, so she has a great breadth of experience, both in city administration and in the ward. I picked up people who I met on my campaign. C.J. Boyd, who was the campaign manager for the Minimum Wage Act here in Tucson, Prop 206, has come on board. And Marlena Avellino, who was working with the Working Families Party, I always get it mixed up, which works to bring political voice to the underrepresented. And they had endorsed my campaign. I got to know her, and I stole her. Kristen Woodall, who's been in the ward office, been a mainstay there for 4 years, has stayed on. And we have some part-time help, too. Constable Bennett Bernal, who really knows the 05, the 85705 area where he's constable. And Mike Edmonds, who's a resident of the Tucson House, which is an affordable housing unit, an important one that the city of Tucson runs. And it's just involved in all sorts of good stuff over there.
We've got to do something about this. You know, we've called ourselves, Kevin, a bicycle-friendly city for so many years. I mean, you know that. You and I didn't get off the bus yesterday. I mean, we've transitioned and become really have a national reputation for those that love to cycle. I mean, look at this. We've got, you know, the big race that we do, the tour to Tucson, and on it goes. But this situation with not only bicyclists being injured, in some cases killed, and pedestrians. It's been very dangerous. I mean, a well-known accident involving Chuck Huckleberry, the Pima County administrator, in downtown Tucson, and on it goes. There was a terrible incident up in the foothills a week or so ago. Do we need to kind of rethink this whole thing with the bike pass?
We need to provide resources to make the bike lanes safe and to provide more separated bike lanes, whether that's physically separating a bike lane that's along a traffic lane with some sort of structure, with a curbing, with those floppy signs, with rumble strips. There's things that we can do immediately to adapt to make bicycle lanes safer. There's also a great need to make pedestrian interactions on streets safer too, with more appropriate hawk crossings, those lighted stop walk at busy places. Fortunately, Tucson has done a study, so we don't have to study this anymore. We have a Move Tucson plan for all transportation needs. It's not a funded study, but we have a vision of where we need to go, and we just need to provide those resources. We have an opportunity with the upcoming special election in May, the Prop 411, to fund these, and it's not an additional tax. It's replacing the existing 1 cent tax that is split between public safety and streets. This time it would be completely on streets. 80% of it would be to rehab every neighborhood street in Tucson, every single neighborhood street.
Every street?
Over the next 10 years.
Huh.
With the projected funding we'll get from that sales tax. And that's 80%. The other 20% is for complete streets, for safety measures, for the things we need to do for bike lanes, for the lights, for other lighting on dark streets, and other measures to make our streets safe. So I've been urging everybody to vote yes on Prop 411.
I know you get a lot of calls, and rightly so, about potholes, the pothole situation. There are certain streets now I'm just avoiding. I just, some of these potholes are really almost to the point where they're dangerous.
People should report potholes.
Okay.
And you can do it online, or you can get an app for your smartphone called Click It, See It, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And once they're reported, there's a crews that will go out and pretty quickly fill them in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, potholes don't stay patched forever, and they eventually degrade. So that's why.
Even getting out there and putting some whatever they do with that black, I don't know if it's kind of a little ready, quick asphalt or whatever it is, but something, Kevin, to patch the streets.
Yes, yeah, and it's recognized that it's a problem. That's probably the number one complaint that I heard on the campaign trail.
Is it the number one thing you're hearing?
I would ask,
also,
do you have
a council person, is it the number one thing?
No, we get more concerns about homeless camps, but we do get potholes. Over time, we get less and less pothole calls because if they call us, we give them the website or the app so that they can report it themselves. And that's the best. Just report it right away. And I think people would be surprised at how quickly a crew will come out and patch the ones that you've taken a photograph of or given the geographic location for.
So this is called Proposition 411, 411.
Yes.
And it will be on the ballot on November 17th.
No, in May. There'll be a special election in May.
That's correct. Thank you. May 17th, actually. So we're talking about a lot of money from this, $740 million for street repair and safety upgrades. Kevin Dahl, is this an extension then of what voters approved, I think, 5 years ago?
Yes. There was a five-year sales tax measure back then. It wasn't all streets. I think it was 40% streets and then 60% for public safety, which included fire department needs, police needs, and also for the 911 call center. We're going to be dealing with those continued needs of public safety in other fashion, another bucket of money. But the streets really need it, and I'm proud to be supporting something that will take care of the streets for quite a while.
And there is an oversight group, I think, that has been put together. So people often wonder, I'll vote yes, but I wonder if they'll ever fulfill the promises of fixing all these neighborhood streets and increasing road safety.
That's correct, Bill. A Citizens Commission will be that exists will be renamed and will oversee all of those expenditures and make sure that they get expended.
How about the RTA? Are you on board with that?
Well, I think we've reached a compromise, a knock on wood, that the RTA follows through with the promises that they've made to the mayor. We went ahead with this sales tax measure with the understanding that our other needs would be filled, for the major arterials would be in the future would be fulfilled through the RTA process.
When we come back with Kevin Dahl, we'll talk about affordable housing. But right now, Kevin, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. Are you ready for some bakery goods?
They're a good bakery.
They are a great bakery. Mona's Danish Bakery, located northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. They are very proud of not only the lunch that they serve, but, of course, the signature for their business are the breakfasts. They're open at 6:30, and people are actually waiting when Steve, the owner, opens the door. I want my coffee, and I want my Danish, and I want my whatever. Like my new favorite, the bear claw I have just discovered the bear claws up at Mona's. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back with Tucson City Councilman, Ward 3 Democrat, Kevin Dahl, right after we take a break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Having a conversation with Kevin Dahl, the Tucson City Councilman, the Democrat in Ward 3. Kevin was elected in November, sworn in December 6th of last year. His first appearance to the Buckmaster Show since becoming a councilman. And Kevin, I think you can appreciate the fact that I didn't want to bring you in too early.
Thank you very much, Bill. That was great.
I wanted to let you kind of learn the ropes, and there is, I think it's kind of like drinking from a fire hose.
Bill, I use that metaphor because my ward office was an old fire station, and we have not just one, but two fire hoses there to remember that was an important fire
You're
station
over
for Tucson.
On Grant for
on,
the office?
On Grant, on the south side of Grant between Campbell and Mountain.
So that was a fire station?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been, really, the council has been meeting remotely, so you haven't had a chance to be up there with your other council people in person. That's going to change.
It's going to change at our next meeting, Tuesday, April 5th. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back to the council chambers and see how it works. They've done some modifications for our safety and for the safety of people visiting. It will probably look a little different, but it would be great to be meeting in person again.
One of the things, really the platform, the centerpiece of your campaign was climate change. And you know, when you talk about climate change, Kevin Dahl, it's not something that I don't think you can kind of institute overnight and there'll be these big changes. But what kind of progress or lack of it are you making in that regard?
Yes, and I'm not coming into the middle of Tucson's work on climate change. We're a climate action city for years, and we're undertaking another planning process so that we can be real strategic in what we do on climate change. But from my perspective, it touches everything. Our transportation planning, 30% of our greenhouse gases come from our transportation sector. We need to prepare for the heat and the stronger storms that we expect in the summers that climate scientists are telling us.
And that we have been getting. These storms have been really monsters.
And last June, it was really hot.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember right now. And so for some of us, we'll just turn up the air conditioning and hopefully there'll be plenty of energy for that. For some people, it's a choice. Can I afford more air conditioning? We need cooling centers that are functional for people that need to get there. And we just need to make it a cooler city in any way we can, with more trees, with better insulated, weatherized homes, with programs that help people who can't do that out of their pocket, but with leadership to so that we can prepare for that. At the same time, we want to stop producing greenhouse gases in everything we do. We need to stop using 30% of our drinking water is used in landscaping. And as we see the drought affect the entire Colorado River watershed, where most of our water comes from, we may be facing a time where certainly water is going to get more expensive. If we can use water from these stronger storms or from our regular rains to grow the trees and the cooling vegetation around our homes and businesses, that's the sort of projects that I'm looking to support.
How about waste what are the term for the wastewater and then using that for landscaping?
Yeah, and Pima County has
there's a term for it where they clean up the wastewater and then
reclaimed water.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Pima County does that and provides treated wastewater for landscaping opportunities, but it's even more simple if you can do it at your own home. If you can harvest the water from your roof and rather let it go down a wash, if you can use that to grow trees, it benefits you and your neighbors. So simple things like building basins and just understanding that. Recently, was it last night, a motion that I brought to the table to fund more staff for planning and development services so that they can help commercial, new commercial buildings put in this sort of stormwater, rainwater harvesting. Once it's in place, your water bill is reduced forever because it just operates naturally and you have the trees and you have less of a cooling bill. So it's a win-win-win. We just have to get our house in order so that we can help developers put in this pretty simple technology.
One of the most important functions of the city is public safety, and people are very concerned about the murder rate, the crime rate. We have a new police chief. We'll be having him on our Friday Focus interview in the coming weeks, and we'll also be having the new 911 director on the program, and there's been some changes there.
Good, yes. The new police chief is a wonderful guy.
Chief Kazmer.
Yeah, he's come up from the force. People in the force really respect him. He has good ideas about the direction for the police department. So I was very pleased. And I think he got a unanimous nod from the entire mayor and council. Tucson has a lot of crime. And mm-hmm. We need to support our police. They're understaffed. Takes a year and $100,000 to train a new police officer before they're out on the beat doing their job. And before my time, the wages of police were brought up to more market standards because mm-hmm. we were losing folks after having trained them. They can go to another jurisdiction.
Like Albuquerque, there's a billboard about a block from the radio station. Please come to Albuquerque. We're paying good money.
Yeah. So yeah. There's a competitive market for people who want to do the very hard work of public safety, not just the police, but also the fire department, and also the people who work in the call center. So, it's important that people understand that they're understaffed. Please report every crime. We want those statistics, even if it's a situation where, that crime doesn't rise to the level where a policeman's going to be able to respond. We still want the information. That's one of the things our ward office intervenes with as well. If someone feels that they've been given a short stick, like mm-hmm. the response from 911,
right.
We will see what we can do to help that situation.
All right, let's talk about affordable housing. The market prices are just off the charts, not only for buying a home, but for renting a property. So how can we help some people that need assistance?
Well, people at the lower end of the economic stratum who, for personal circumstances, can't afford to rent a place that's being rented, we're finding people on the streets because of that situation. So affordable housing that's subsidized, City of Tucson is very committed to being part of the team that's bringing those affordable housing units into being. We did a study, the Housing Affordability Strategy for Tucson. So we have a vision for working with nonprofit partners, private developers who get tax credits for building affordable housing, governments like Pima County. There's federal money that's available through the state to do this, and we're working hard to do that. And we've brought on a number of units. A bunch of them are in Ward 3. In fact, the majority of the affordable housing units in Tucson are in Ward 3, and that's because there's a great need in Ward 3.
And where can people find out more? Call your office?
We would direct them to housing and community. I'm not going to be able to remember the right name of the department, but there's some brilliant people in the city administration. So yeah, call the ward office and we'll direct you to them.
Or if you live in Ward 3, perhaps your office might direct them to some affordable housing.
That's right. There's some new coming online. There's different qualifications. We need affordable housing that's low barrier. You know, if it's where you can't bring your dog,
sure,
that means some people will be sleeping under a cardboard box. So bringing those sorts of units into being quickly is one of the things we're working on.
We had a question from a caller, and I don't know, Kevin, if you'll be able to answer this. Do we have a shortage of lifeguards? We'll be coming the summer pool season here, and I assume now that, thank goodness, some of the COVID may be in our rearview mirror, some of the city pools will be opening. Do you have any idea about that?
Yes, it's been a topic because we want to open the pools earlier and keep them open later. And one of the barriers to that is lifeguards.
Okay.
And it's affecting every business and every department of Tucson. Is mm-hmm. there's not the labor force out there. But this is a great job for someone who's young in high school
great
or college.
Great summer job, yeah.
Great
sure.
summer job. You get the Red Cross training ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so please, if anybody knows a young person who needs a job lifeguarding, and there's other Parks and Rec jobs that are available this summer as well, please contact us or contact Parks and Rec here in the city.
You could, folks could just Google Tucson Parks and Rec, or they could Google Kevin Dahl, Tucson City Council person, and people, you can direct them for how they would apply for that.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, okay, so sounds like you're kind of settling into your job, and I think the important thing, just from the smile when you walked in, and I've known you for years, you got a big smile on your face. You got to be happy.
Thank you, Bill. I am really happy. For me, a job where I get to learn stuff and interact uh-huh. with people and maybe do a little good here or there, mm-hmm. it's a very satisfying job for me.
I think that's all any of us can ask for. It's why I continue to do this radio show.
You do a great job
for
there,
many,
too.
For many, many years doing it is because I really like learning something every day.
Yeah.
And I usually do.
And I think your listeners do, too.
Thank you very much. Kevin Dahl, Tucson City Council person. Looking for a good summer job, young folks, if parents think about a lifeguard position. All right, we're going to take a break. Buckmaster Midweek Edition, we'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Wow, I just looked at the weather forecast. Tom Fairbanks, my ace engineer producer, just brought it up. And now they're saying a high near 92 Friday and a high near 94 on Saturday, 92 on Sunday. Well, Tom, the record for today is 91. So I'm guessing that we're going to be in either record territory or certainly near it for the weekend.
It's looking like it. So, yeah, 90s over the weekend, but we're supposed to go to cooler temperatures early next week with the possibility of showers Monday and Tuesday.
But I'll go out on a limb here as we talk about green things and say I think certainly the 32 and the freezing is behind us. Now,
I think so.
Yeah.
So how are the flowers going to react to these warmer temperatures?
That is a question that could be posed to any of the fine people that work at Green Things, and you would get a very knowledgeable answer because it's what's on all of us that do gardening. What about it? What should we plant right now that will carry us perhaps even into midsummer to the monsoon? They can point you in the right direction at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Beautiful 13-acre site, 51st year of business, open daily. And when you're there, visit Zocalo Village for that wonderful merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico and Latin America. Let's welcome now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we turn to our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, one-time Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year, and he joins us now. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well, and I noticed it seems like every day there's something coming out of the legislature that is geared toward, how do I put this, educators kind of wanting to tell lawmakers wanting to tell educators how to educate, for want of a better word.
Well, I try not to be paranoid about these things, Bill, but, you know, there's a lot of mistrust out there.
Yep.
And you see it by some of the proposals that are going through. You know, a good example of one right now is a Senate Bill 1211, which is now in its second reading and seems to have at least the votes in the Senate to require school districts and actually individual teachers to post on district websites all the learning materials and activities that they are using in their classroom.
Really?
By subject and by grade. And to do this 72 hours in advance of using the materials.
Wow.
I mean, I'm all for transparency, Bill. I think parents, I encourage parents to get more involved in their youngsters' education. And I think parents should know what materials their students are using and how they're using them and what they're learning. But this is really untenable. I mean, it's just logistically impossible for a school, for a teacher to post everything that they're going to be using in the classroom. Now, we go back to the basic textbook, which, you know, all teachers use in a classroom. And those textbooks are readily available. I mean, it's hope that students are bringing those textbooks home and that parents can look at them, they can read them, they can look at the discussion questions. I mean, that's really good information if a parent wants to seek that information. But I think there's something more insidious about this. I think it's really more of a smokescreen for to try to rout out teachers who maybe are covering issues such as discrimination or diversity or gender, which are hot political topics right now. And so maybe the goal, and I don't know this for sure, but maybe the goal of some legislators that, you know, if we put everything out there, maybe we can discover something that a teacher is doing that they shouldn't be doing in their mind. And in that case, the bill carries with it some violations that if teachers are, in fact, using things that materials that they shouldn't be using, that these parents can report things all the way up through an appeal process that could end up with the state auditor general.
How in the world teachers are so overworked, and as you say, that's just not tenable. They would be having to put all of this material up on the web, and you said 72 hours in advance of it getting into the classroom.
Right.
Wow.
Well, I'll just give you an example of how impractical this is. Typically, in a classroom, I'll use the elementary or middle school as an example. Teachers would have an open library period where students could go to the library and pick out a book of their choice or reference materials and bring them back, read them in the classroom, perhaps take them home. Would we say that if that's the case, should the school list every library book that's in their system? Because there are a lot of things that a teacher would not be possibly able to predict to list. And so this is one of these unintended consequences thing. I'm not saying that some legislators don't mean well with this. I mean, there certainly we want transparency. We want parents to know what students are learning. I've always thought that parents should get more involved in that than they do. But, you know, I think we're kind of going over the edge for this. And whether it's going to pass or not, I don't know. And if it does pass, I think districts are going to really struggle in how they're going to make this practically possible to happen.
And isn't there something isn't there another bill that says anything a student says to a teacher now, the teacher would have to report it?
Yes. And that, you know, that again is, you know, in committee at this point.
Yeah.
How you pin down something like that? I mean, what does that really mean? The language of the bill is not really clear as to what would it be that a student would possibly say to a teacher, or vice versa, a teacher would say to a student that would be offensive or, I'll use a softer word, unacceptable. And by whose standard is it unacceptable? It's really complicated. It's complex. And again, how anybody's going to figure this out. And my thought is, you know, teachers really have a lot at their doorstep already.
Mm-hmm.
And to put these additional things to them, I mean, we are suffering from a massive teacher exodus. This is not a welcome mat for new teachers.
No, it is not.
No. And so if you're going to enter the profession and you feel like you've got this big brother system overlooking every single thing that you do and every single thing that you say, you know, it's just it's crazy. And so I don't know what we're trying to do, and I don't want to single out Arizona because there seems to be a national movement in this regard. There are a lot of states and a lot of legislatures who are, you know, are holding educators in, you know, somewhat suspect arena. And, you know, what we're going to do about that, I'm not sure, but it's certainly not helping our profession. You know, we're looking at, I'm looking at a survey by the Education Week, which is a well-known publication, which says that, districts, 48% of districts say they've struggled to find full-time teachers.
Wow, 48%.
We've got vacancies right now, and this is the spring. And so, you know, districts are out recruiting for the fall, but, you know, that's typical this time of year. But now they're not just recruiting for the fall, they're recruiting for right now. You know, I heard the previous discussion about finding lifeguards.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of a parallel there in the sense that, both of these areas are, you know, needs. One is a safety need. The other is an educational need. And we're having trouble finding people to take these positions and how things have changed. Part of it's the pandemic. But I think this is a movement long before the pandemic, and it's just brought it into greater focus. Just very, very difficult situation.
All right.
And then, of course, Bill, I want to talk a little bit about Proposition 208. I don't know if we need to take a break. But,
I do. I do. So hang on. Your phone line sounds really good, and we'll come back to you after we take a break with Dr. Robert Hendricks talking education right after we take our break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. About 15 minutes ago, we were talking about the warm, very warm, unseasonably warm weather we're going to be having this weekend. But I'm looking at Silver City. Wow, I like it. 78 on Saturday. So perfect weather to do some hiking. Over in the Gila National Wilderness, the website is Southwest New Mexico. Just spell that out, .org. I always recommend folks check out the website, then take the three-hour drive over to Silver City, because once you're on the website, you'll learn about some really nice places to stay and all sorts of activities. We love to send people to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We continue on with our discussion with Dr. Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education, longtime educator at Flowing Wells. He was the superintendent, and talking about, you know, I was also reflecting, Bob, some of your remarks. If you're a teacher who's a young teacher or soon to be a teacher, say someone in college, and they see these headlines day after day about the lawmakers and what they want the educational environment to look like, that's a turnoff. It is.
And I've said this before. I really would encourage some of these legislators to actually visit a classroom, visit a school, spend a day. And I know we've had some fine legislators in the past who have done that, but, you know, get a little bit more a dose of reality of what, you know, what it's like in the school environment today, and how hard our teachers are working and our principals. And I also tip my hat to school board members as well. I mean, it's a tough job. And it doesn't help recruitment efforts, you know, when you see these daily bombardment of headlines that are negative.
Did you want to talk about money and schools?
Well, I did. You know, it's, Proposition 208, hopefully some folks will remember that, but I'll give a little bit of a background. The goal of this proposition, which, by the way, was approved by voters with a 52% margin in 2020, levied a surcharge tax on the state's most wealthiest residents. These would be people who made an income of $250,000 a year or more. Well, the Republican legislature did not like that. They, even though it was approved by the voters, they said basically this plan is illegal. The governor did not support the plan. And also the Arizona Chamber of Commerce did not like the plan. So they took it to court. They took it to the Arizona Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that that it was, in fact, illegal. Because the amount of money that was being asked for exceeded the state budget cap, which, by the way, is established by the legislature and could be increased if the legislature wanted to increase it, but they, of course, do not want to. So it exceeded the cap. It went back to it was appealed and went back to the Maricopa Superior Court judge, who ruled that this millions of dollars that would have increased revenue to Arizona schools could not be enforced. And so essentially, Bill, it's dead in the water. It's not going to happen. This would have allowed, if it had been a court victory, it would have allowed this state to increase teacher salaries, to hire more teachers and actually improve the competitive marketplace for Arizona, which, as we've talked about before, we're in the bottom quartile of salaries in the country. And so this would have infused many, many dollars to get us in into a decent ranking order in the country. But it's been blocked. It's not going to happen. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, I was reading last Sunday's column of Tim Steller writes for the Arizona Daily Star. I greatly respect his opinion. And he was talking about the fact that we've got this huge surplus of money in Arizona right now.
Yeah.
Abundant money. And in fact, if the legislature wanted to do so, they could take some of that money and backfill what was lost by this overruled proposition. But instead, the conversation that we're hearing is, well, let's cut taxes, let's take more money, give it back to the taxpayers, and not much discussion at all about, well, how do we infill this deficit? What can we do to possibly take this money and get us up to a point where we are going to be competitive with the rest of the nation? So it's very, very frustrating to me, you know, especially when I see a legislature that's preoccupied with things like keeping track of the materials that teachers use or reporting, you know, what a teacher says to a student or vice versa. You know, it's, you know, I believe that some legislators are upset with the Arizona Education Association. They're upset with the Arizona School Board Association. Somehow this is a political fight, and they feel like it's an issue of control. And so if they say no, they can stay in the driver's seat, and educators get punished.
Yeah, and it's not like there isn't money in the surplus. The last I heard, it's $3 billion. That's with a B. $3 billion in the surplus. Even if $100 billion went, and I don't know if they would fund the whole thing to this new Arizona Water Authority, there certainly is money to backfill some of this money that's been lost for public education. By the way, Tim Steller will be one of my guests on the show on Friday. But you make a real good point about the money available. It is available, but the attitude apparently out of Phoenix is it feels very anti-public education, Bob Hendricks.
Right. If we can fund taxing support for the film industry, and I'm not against the film industry,
no.
But if we can take money to do that, but not put some extra dollars into education, and I hear an argument from some legislators that, well, we give them enough already, and let them do with what they've got. And it's like, no, it's not enough.
No.
It's not enough. It's
all right.
Not if you want to be competitive and you want the best teachers in the classroom, you're going to have to be willing to pay for it.
Okay. Dr. Robert Hendricks, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next month. Thank you, Bob.
Absolutely, Bill. Good talking to you.
All right. On behalf of Dr. Hendricks and on behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon. Dave Ramsey, his very popular show on money, is coming up next. Have a great day.